If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this Sunday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Boyd's One Stop, and Bayou City Angler. All right. Let's go to weather right now. Galveston down on the island, 78 degrees. Mix of clouds and sun today with a high around 85. East-northeast winds 15 to 25. And then tonight, partly cloudy skies in the evening, a few showers developing late. A low of 76. Winds will be east-northeast 10 to 15. And about a 30% chance of rain tonight. And then for tomorrow, a few passing clouds, otherwise sunny. Slight chance of rain shower, high of 86, maybe a 20% chance of rain, east winds 10 to 20. And looking at radar over towards Louisiana and out in the Gulf over there, they got a ton of rain going on. I guess that's what's bringing these east winds and northeast winds. All right, looking at current conditions, Galveston Channel down there, it's 76 degrees with 85 degree water, east winds at 10 to 15. And at Eagle Point, pretty much the same, 76 degrees, 82-degree water, east-northeast winds 14 to 15. And Morgan's Point, it is 74 degrees with 83-degree water, northeast winds at 11 to 14 miles per hour. And barometric pressure is falling at about 29.92 inches. All right, that pretty much tides. Let's knock these out. There's four of them today. We have a high right now at 4 o'clock at the Galveston Channel. It's a 1.6. Then a low coming up at 9:20 a.m., a 1.1. And then a high at 3:26 p.m., a 1.7. And a low tonight at 9:51 p.m., an 0.8. 7:15 a.m. is sunrise. 7 p.m. sunset. Moon phase, 91%. I think our full moon will be, Tuesday night. It'll be 99% Tuesday and Wednesday night. So, all right, well, let's run on down the coast now. Let's check in with Captain Kim Golden, see what she's up to this morning, see how things are in her neighborhood. Good morning, Kim. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
It's great to
Sunday.
Be here.
Yes.
It is. It's the weekend. But yes. I have been looking forward to visiting with you and your listeners since about Tuesday morning. It's been a great week here in Port O'Connor. I felt like for a couple of weeks there, I wasn't able to come on here and say what I wanted to say, but my goodness, we sure had quite a week here and turned a corner. I think that probably most would agree that tarpon have stole the show this last week. They've been plentiful, they've been willing, they've been in deep water. They've been off the beach, and it's been an absolutely fantastic week to chase them.
Cool.
That's so much fun.
It sure is nice when the fish cooperate.
It certainly is. We had one more week of a lot of north wind. That's kind of been the primary wind direction, it seems, for a little while, with a few days of east-southeast worked in. But it sure did lay the Gulf down. It's absolutely gorgeous. I said one day, I'm out here with a full tank of gas and a flat Gulf. The possibilities are endless. And it wasn't just this way for me. I know the boats that went out to the state rigs did amazing, caught snapper. There were ling. I saw a lot of big triple tail. I think whatever you were fishing for, you probably had a pretty good shot last week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty good week. I've heard that all up and down the coast. Beautiful fish caught.
All up and down. I think the same. I think that it echoed. I saw the same results, north and south of here. I know one day in particular that stands out. We went out in the morning and went 2 for 2 on tarpon. And we came in and we waited for limits of fat slot trout. And I thought, hey, this is a pretty good day right here.
Doesn't get much better than that, huh?
Doesn't get much better than that. I'll hang my hat on this one for today. It was a good day to be a guide. It isn't always a good day to be a guide, but it was a good day to be a guide that day in Port O'Connor.
Well, that's what we do it for, those exceptional days. They do come, believe it or not. It happens.
They do, and I've also noticed an uptick in for our guides that focus on, fish in our shallower water, or even deeper for reds and black drum and things of this nature. I noticed they did well in our flounder giggers. They had great, because it was just a great week. I think it was just a good week to be fishing here.
Tis the season.
It is. And these little mornings where it's not cold, but you can feel the change.
With these longer nights, more nighttime hours, and that first thing, man, it felt really good yesterday morning. Golly,
yes.
It was nice.
Yes. About the time, I think there's absolutely nobody left who could not have heard me say this. I found myself saying it all last week, that if you love this, if you like it in the summer, you will absolutely love it in the fall and winter. It will surely hook you then. My goodness, I think we have a great fall and winter ahead of us. I do.
I'm hearing that from a lot of guys.
I do. I'm excited. And I noticed also, we talked a little bit about our higher tides last time and bull tides. I noticed we got a huge push yesterday of water here. Huge.
Yeah. Same up here.
So same there?
Yes. Bull tides, man.
It's a good flushing.
Yes. And it, we're going to have another spawn on trout. And this next full moon, I think we'll see a significant fall spawn. We get that a lot, especially off the equinox like this. And the first couple of full moons, they do some dumping.
Yes, sir. This is the time of year when, as well as in the spring, when I'm in certain areas here and I go to catching a lot of males, it sticks in my head.
Yeah.
So it's not always payoff, but when it does, when it's one after another, I sure do jot that little spot down in my mind and to revisit. We just have certain setups here where they seem to favor it, the conditions for that activity. And yeah, I know when I find the males piled up there. Yes. So I agree.
Well, they've definitely got some good king tides to push those eggs after they're fertilized.
I'm telling you.
Shallow grasses.
I love it. And our trout, I noticed our trout fishing not only became a little more consistent, but it's not a lot, but I'm just starting to see that uptick in quality fish up a little shallower. Stuck one last week closer to middle of the day when it was a little warm. So just starting to give us hints of things to come in. This water cools off a little bit. Those trout are going to stay up there a little shallow, a little bit longer, and that'll give us our window. We'll have a little bit more window to target them in. I just can't wait. It's just going to be a great fall and winter.
Well, we're all keeping our fingers crossed.
Me too.
The signs are right.
They are. And I know that our redfish in here is good. We did not, when our water comes up, it seems like I always feel like they scatter a little bit while we're still catching them. Mm-hmm. We were not targeting them last week, and they did seem to be a little more scattered for us. But I don't think they've left the zip code just spread out a little.
No, they just spreads them out. And that's what happens here where I'm at. You know, we get these fresh years, and it concentrates all of our fish in the south end of the complex, and it stacks them up and makes it so easy for everybody. And then when you salt back up, then all these fish spread out and start moving northward. And it, especially this time of year, it makes it tough on a lot of people before they, you know, there's just a big movement of fish going on right now. Fish are moving.
There is. Our bays here, it's it doesn't really matter where you pull up. You know, you have the apex predators that came in the spring with the water fish. They're moving out. So we have a lot of sharks coming across the flats and feeding up on their way back. And the flats are just loaded with bait here. I mean, they're every one of them. I've not had to leave one area for lack of bait. Let me just put it like that. I mean, everywhere you pull up, it's loaded. So now this tide has come up and everything's going to push up even further. I know the shrimp will start leaving soon. I know a lot of people are, if it hasn't started happening already, a lot of people are really excited about that and talking about that. So that should be happening pretty soon.
Yeah, let the foraging begin.
Let the foraging begin. Some bay systems that pops off a little more than others. It's not as defined here. I know here in other bay systems, when you find those birds working in the fall like that, it's just straight fire. I just run and gun and pull up and catch them, and it's so much fun. Here, that particular scenario doesn't develop, but we certainly benefit from all that bait bunching up and leaving out like that.
So you're seeing a pretty good mullet run this fall. Y'all have a lot.
We have a lot of mullet. We've had a lot of shad.
That's even better.
Yes, I was out with anglers not too long ago, and we noticed. We all figured it was a shad. It just was one we couldn't quickly identify, and there it was clearly a die-off, and things were just having their way with them. And I took a picture and referred to somebody more knowledgeable than myself, and it turned out to be a hickory shad. And there was just a huge die-off, and it created this huge shoreline of opportunity you can just imagine. But that was that one was a new one for me. But we have a lot of bait in here of all sorts, and it's all still here. Tons of pin perch. Any lures that have flashed gold glitter have been effective. No problem selling them.
Yeah. Well, we like that.
I do too.
We love it when the trout love to buy the lure we're throwing to them.
No kidding. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, junk it. That's me.
Since all of us only have one, two, or three lures, you know, which is helpful if it bites our own. My goodness, I could run a tackle store off my boat, I think, at any given time with lures. And I have to say, we've been reaching for the same few ones this last week. That golden bream color that Mirror Lure makes, that kind of topaz with that gold flake in it. That's been a strong, strong producer. That's
good
a strong producer
bait
for me all year, but it has really produced well. And their little smaller marshmallow under a popping cork, just really effective this last week.
Well, you get people, you'll be in trout knee-deep, man, catching them every cast, and you'll get somebody, what do you think about throwing this? I said, well, you can go ahead and throw it. I said, but I'm not pulling this bait off. I'm getting a bite every cast. I mean, I think probably anything would work. Try it. You always get those that, you know, they're never satisfied. They're catching a fish every cast on one lure. But that's typical lure fishing right there. That's everybody wants to experiment, which is good. That's a good thing about the three fish limit. Hey, all you need is three if you're killing fish, and try anything you want. See what works and doesn't work.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, man, I've caught 10 in a row and one over 7 pounds. I think I'm going to change this lure and see if I can do better with something
I'll change
else.
This
you know?
One. There's two different kinds. There's that kind or the one that once you get a good one on it, you don't want to change it to save your life. I think I'm the latter. I will re-put it on and turn it over. I feel like once it gets a certain vibration pattern on it, I'm afraid
right.
I can't match it with a new one. So I will flat wear one out. I might have 72,000 new ones on the boat, but
yeah.
I'm going to fish that one until it won't hang on anymore.
I'm going to ride her till she bucks me, man. That's the way you do it. All right, Kim. Well, hey, thanks for the report from down there, and I'm glad you're having a good week and hope this week's even better. It ought to be with this full moon coming up. They ought to be snapping, man.
So, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So
all right.
It's fishing.
Well, hey,
every day's a new day.
We'll give the folks some info if somebody wants to come down and cut a weight or pop a drift or whatever.
That would be great. You can find all my information at PortOConnorFishingTrip.com. And, yeah, we have some good stuff coming up. If you've been thinking about, if you already do, or you're thinking about trying a little fall or winter fishing, this is the time. This is the time to set it up.
Time to get nail her down. Get with it. All right.
Well, I hope y'all have a great week up in your neck of the woods.
You too, Kim.
And I'll look forward to talking to you and your listeners again next Sunday.
All right. Always a pleasure. Right. You have a great day. See you now.
Thank you. You
All
too.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down Freeport way now, and let's check in with Captain Jeff Naylor this morning. What's up, Naylor?
What's going on, Captain Miggy? How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, man. How about you?
Oh, man, doing great. I got Casey with me this morning. We're just hanging out.
Hey, Casey. What's up, bud?
Hey, I'm back.
You're back?
took a little hiatus, but I'm back.
Well, nothing like a good hiatus, especially yeah. when you make it back in one piece.
That's right. That's right.
Where'd you hiatus out at?
Oh, well, I've been to South Texas. I took my son on a pheasant hunting trip last week. We went to South Dakota last week.
Yeah.
And that was fun. That's pretty much where I've been, South Texas and South Dakota, basically.
Always go south.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jeff?
Just staring at this water, waiting for the wind to slow down a little bit. It doesn't look like it's going to get there.
It came up, didn't it?
Yeah, it's enough to keep you around to watch, and then at the end of the day, I'm not gonna go get beat up, so it ain't good enough to go.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Anyways, it's been a while since we had wind like this. Like, we had a long stretch of not very much wind. It's been a long time.
I guess it's coming off all that low pressure over off the Louisiana coast, and up that way, mm-hmm. all that rain in the Gulf over there. Golly. We could use it. Yeah. Send it over here.
Yeah, no kidding. We're in a little bit of a mini drought right now. Like, it's not raining.
Boy, it dried up quick, didn't it? Man, everybody was complaining about rain and how wet everything was, and it's pretty parched right now.
Yeah. Well, welcome to our world, right? It's either too much or not enough.
That's Texas weather. One extreme to the next.
Yeah, no doubt. You were saying... South Texas, the Carrizo is dirt dry right now. Getting dry there, too. I mean, it's still, the country's still in pretty good shape, but I mean, it's just, we hadn't had rain. The rain stopped. It was raining, a lot, and then it just stopped. Yeah. So, yeah. Have y'all had any ducks in the pond or anything like that? When I was there during opening the dove season, I saw a couple of teal flying around, but not much, man. Nothing. Had pretty good dove shooting. The dove shooting wasn't as good as probably last year, but it was still pretty solid. I mean, we got limits pretty much every time, but they were a little more scattered this year than last year. But we had plenty of birds. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Blaine and his guys, they are just, they're T-rolling them, man. I mean, he sends me photos every evening after everybody gets in from the fields. Boy, that's just, he hadn't seen it like that in years. I mean.
Is it morning doves?
Yeah, but more white wings this year than he's ever seen. I mean, half of their kill or three quarters of it on certain days is all white wings. It's crazy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we had pretty good white wing shoot the first day or two, and then they kind of slowed down. But the first day, we killed almost all white wings. It was actually during the white wing season.
Right.
The first day we hunted, it was still just white wing season because the morning dove didn't start till Sunday. Mm. So, yeah. So where's his place approximately? You don't have to give me the GPS coordinates.
He's in Jim Hogg County, down below you there in south, between Hebronville and Laredo.
Yeah, a friend of mine has a son that runs dove hunts down in the more toward Harlingen area down in there, and he sent me pictures and videos of the amount of birds they had over there. It was incredible. So, yeah, there's a lot of birds in South Texas right now. Apparently,
cause I mean,
deep South Texas, there's a lot.
I've heard good stories from about most places, but I-10 down, really. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been. For a lot of people, most people that I've talked to actually said it was phenomenal hunting.
Oh, yeah, it's been, even we hit it good. It's just to me, for me, and I only hunted two days. I mean, we killed limits every day, but it wasn't as, they weren't as thick as last year. But hell, they're not me now. I hadn't been down there since opening.
Well, they've been coming in waves. Crocker went through the same thing. He had a couple of days there, and then all of a sudden new birds moved in, and it was locked and loaded again,
There you go. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm going back next week to fill up my corn feeders next week, so maybe I'll get to shoot a couple on the on there.
I mean, I'm not seeing the wind get any better. Plus, we'll be going. We're going to the F1 races this weekend, and the following weekend we're going to Cabo.
That's right.
Formula One.
Jeff's becoming quite the cultured man here. Yeah. He's going to races, and he's on it.
Man, hey, Europe, and he's going everywhere, man. Yeah, the traveling man.
Yeah.
Well,
apparently, according to what best that we can tell, snapper season is still open for regular recreational fishermen that aren't chartering. As far as we can tell, it's still open. They haven't closed it yet.
Yeah.
So, and that's the state's call now, isn't it, Jeff? Apparently, the state's call on when they combined with the Fed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably a fair statement.
Yeah,
I'm very cautious to tell any of that because I just I feel like I'm lying.
You can find the information, send it to us because we can't find it whether it's closed.
Right.
So
don't get me lying either.
Yeah. Yeah. I know if you call Texas Parks and Wildlife game warden right now,
he might not know either.
It's like that. You know, unfortunately, that's the way the feds are right now. It's a mess. I mean,
they're shut down. They're not even feds. They ain't working right now. Yeah,
exactly. So if they wanted to do something about it, they probably couldn't do a whole lot anyways.
That's right. It's all shut down.
But
that affects the wildlife refuges too. You know, that they close them. You can't get access through those.
Wow! See, I did not even think about that.
Yeah.
Any of the public hunt stuff is done. Day hunts and all that.
You know, teal season's over, but you know, if that would have happened during teal season, it would a lot of people that launch and inside those refuges and hunt the opportunities they have, they wouldn't have been able to.
Wow! Something you don't think about, but it's Other than the wildlife refuges being open and all that, the rest of the government workers, that's fine by me. They can, if they stay closed too long, they're going to realize we don't need them very much.
Well, that's true, and I think they know that. My life has changed. I might be living a little better. Even the stock market's going up with the government closed. So hey,
wow, you're not wasting all that money right now.
I don't care.
Spending any money.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so man. You know that wind blowing like it is, though. You know, there's not much else to do. And somebody, you know, I'm booking a few trips here and there, and we're going to try to put a few more in before the year's end. But you know, from about now, the beginning of November, something like that, especially to the end of the year. I mean, historically speaking, last 2-3 years. Maybe one weekend out of 3 months, you know, that you'll get, if that. So,
if you need to buy a race car, start racing. You like race car, get an F1 race car for the off season.
Right.
Scrape him off of a wall.
I cry a little bit doing my 1,000-hour engine, you know, maintenance fees and all the parts. Hell, I don't want
to. 1,000-hour, you'd be like, probably have to do it every 10 hours on those cars.
Oh, yeah, guys. Absolutely. Unreal.
And the way they push that horsepower out of them.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's actually a kid. We'll see how it pans out. I don't know. I've never been to a race and hung out with the race team before. We're going to hang out with the Ferrari race team, which is even better, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We got some friends that know some friends, and we'll see.
There's been some pretty good deep drop fish. Did you see what the bluefin did the other day?
Oh, yeah.
They've been catching some good deep drop fish.
I was just fixing to ask you that, Casey. You mentioned the deep dropping because, you know, with amberjack, clothes, snapper, and all that, there's a lot of that going on now, deep dropping.
It's not my area of expertise. Well, they're catching queen snappers. They're catching yellow edge groupers. They're catching barrel fish. They're catching Almaco jacks. They're catching
Beeliners,
too. I mean, it's been pretty dang good out there for who wants to go do, you know, that when we had that weather that was good last week.
Yeah.
They went out and the bluefin went out and had a really good trip on deep dropping. You know, you got to run to do that. I mean, you got to run probably a minimum of 100 miles to get into it really good, or close to 100 miles to get into it really good. But they're out there. Those fish are out there. And it's kind of a recently learned about fishery, I guess you would call it, that hasn't been really tapped into much up until here just in the last few years.
Yeah.
Hasn't been touched much. So it's a whole different world out there than the rest of the fishing we normally do.
You know, queen snapper, not something you'd see at the dock normally, I'd say.
They had a bunch of them, too.
Oh, yeah, they had a ton of them, yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, a lot of those reefs that they're fishing are out there in the deep. You know, the part of the the refuge, you know, the
flower gardens.
What's the
yeah, the refuge is closed. Remember, the government shut down. You can't fish the refuge.
Yeah, don't fish the reefs. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that, you know, there's a few of those reefs out there that are on the Texas Louisiana border, and they're not real big. They're kind of small, you know, and they pop up everywhere. Flower Garden Banks Refuge, I think, is kind of what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, they're not huge. And the few times that we've been out there, there's Louisiana boats out there, Texas boats out there. You know, it ain't gonna take much to.
So either people are hitting that stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna hit it pretty hard. You know, unfortunately, hopefully it stays around for a little bit, but likely probably not. We'll see. But anyway, in the meantime, Matt, I've been trying to get him on the show with me for a while. He said he's gonna come. He swears he's gonna come. He just had a baby. At the end of the season, I can't imagine having a baby in the middle of a summer fishing season. But, you know,
whatever. That wasn't planned very well.
His timing was off a little bit there. Bad timing. Yeah. Oh, good results.
Good results. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. But, yeah, I mean, he crushes it. And they, like, to case in point, they caught a lot of queen snappers, a lot of, you know, some of the bottom dwellers.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of little googly-eyed fish. What is that big red one he had? It was one as a big, looked like a.
Was it a big eye? Is it a big eye?
Yeah, well, big eye.
Yeah. We used to catch those occasionally on the party boats, even in shallower water. Like, when I say shallow,
1/6. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 30 fathoms or whatever.
So, yeah.
They're just a big-eyed, googly-eyed looking fish, like you said, real bright red color, shaped kind of like a. I don't know,
a frying pan or something.
Yeah, like a shaped like a frying pan. Yeah, well, fit in a frying pan.
Yeah, shaped like it, and we'll definitely meet the frying pan.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
Just break out. I'll be right back at you guys. Hang on a second, man. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are next door to one another. No better place to have your wild game processed than the Belleville Meat Market. Excellent service. They have a 3-lane drop-off system. It makes it quick and easy when you go in. They offload your meat. They track it all the way through the process, not to mention all the wide variety of ways to process your wild game. Packaging's excellent. It stays fresh in the freezer forever. And when you go back to pick it up, they load it up in your vehicle for you. And their meat market has a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs. Bulk pricing is available on all their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. Try their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. And, again, try their deer tamales. Have some of those made. You can't go wrong. They are really good. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:36. All right, Jeff and Casey, we are back.
Back in action. Back in action.
Back at
it. You know, there was so Megan, you know, she had the number one yellowfin on the Texas Big Game Fishing, or Houston Big Game Fishing Club, excuse me, leaderboard for all summer long. Through all the tournaments, everything, it was right at 80 pounds, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty odd. Normally gets kicked out, you know, at least during the Lone Star Shootout or something like that. So it made it up until last week.
Uh-oh.
And she got booted. She got booted with an 87. So, but since then, you know, there's been two big yellowfin that I've seen weighed in. One over, not for the Big Game Club, but, you know, otherwise, one over there at Surfside Marina. And,
I saw the picture
I think
of that.
There's another one down south, maybe Matagorda or something.
How
like
big
that
were they?
I saw. The one over there in Surfside, I'm guesstimating now between 150, 200. I mean, the sickles on them were, I mean.
I saw the picture.
That was a good one. You know, hey, you guys fish a lot, you know, during the, you know, yellowfin, stuff like that, overnight, 30s and sour and all that. How can you tell on a big yellowfin how big it is? Is there a correlation to the sickles versus how much it weighs?
You know, there's two different, they call those sickle ones with the long sickles Allison tunas a lot of times. You've heard that one?
Allison tuna.
They're yellowfin tuna, but they're like a different,
yeah.
It's a different, I don't know if it's a subspecies, but there's big yellowfin tunas that don't have hardly any sickles on them.
Right.
And then there's one with the long sickles on them.
Right.
Yeah. And we always would call those Allison tunas. I don't know where the name came from, but that's where Allison yellowfin, ones with the long sickles. Usually the ones with the long sickles are a big tuna, but you can catch a big tuna that doesn't have them too.
Right.
Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and that was
that. Unless the, now the big eye tuna is sometimes hard to tell from a yellowfin tuna. So are the ones with the short sickles big eye tunas? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're not easy to tell them apart. The only real way to tell them apart is something you look at the liver. The liver inside the tuna has striations in the big eye, and the yellowfin it doesn't have it. From the liver of the fish.
How do you remember this stuff? Like, it's crazy. You're like a walking
I could be making it up. You might want to check me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not making it up. That's really true. About
no,
the
I believe it.
So I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough to know whether or not only the yellowfin, true yellowfins have the sickles, but I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a time of year or a spawning male. I don't know. I don't know why, but some of them have it, some of them don't.
Wow.
But normally the ones that, I mean, you've seen them where they come back and they'll go all the way back to the past the tail.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll flow back all the way past the caudal fin, the tail.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They're cool looking. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that one time we were out fishing. My dad, it was when I was younger, we were out on a crew boat, actually. It was a new crew boat. It was a 100-foot crew boat. And we were just out there test running it, took some people fishing on it. It was a nice summer day, took the crew boat fishing. And we pulled up behind a shrimp boat, and there was a big yellowfin behind the shrimp boat, and it had them sickles. Because I remember we were throwing chum out, and it was coming up, and the sickles were coming out of the water.
Yeah.
And my dad threw his line out there on a 4-aught newel with like 80-pound test on it and hooked it and fought it for about 8 or 10 minutes, and then it decided to go, and it took all the line off the reel and made the reel started smoking, and we lost it. And in a crew boat, you can't chase it down or back it down fast enough.
Yeah.
By the time somebody got to the wheel and tried to chase it, the thing was already gone. And I mean, there was literally smoke coming off the reel.
Dang.
It was a couple hundred pounder. I remember seeing it like it was yesterday. It was behind that shrimp boat all by itself with a bunch of sharks. I remember you could see it swimming. It would just go up and eat the chum. He threw a bait out there. As soon as he threw it out the rumper, just ate it, hooked it. We didn't have the right tackle. We'd had some good tackle on the boat. We'd had a big old tuna on board.
Yeah. We don't ever, you know, we don't ever see yellowfin out by the shrimp boats at all. I mean, I can't actually, you know, I've only probably caught two or three ever, you know, and they weren't even that big, you know.
We went out one time a long time ago. I took some friends out and we caught, Trent caught one on my boat, like a, maybe a 40 pounder.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, yeah. 30 pounder, maybe the max. You know, yep. They're mostly small.
It was cool to catch one, but yeah, they don't. But now over off Louisiana, they catch a bunch of them behind shrimp.
Well, yeah.
This time of the year, actually, right. When they catch them October.
Yeah.
Time frame.
You know, like paper, though. But I mean,
but they have a lot more yellowfin over there than we do.
To the point, though, the state record to this very day, the Texas state record was caught only like 40 miles out in the 21s.
Okay, so yes, so that's what I was going to tell you. Yes, I remember. Well, Durwood caught one.
Mike.
Monty and them hooked one. I remember Monty, when he was running the bluefin, he hooked one time about 40 miles offshore, about maybe this time of year or maybe a little earlier. Fought it like 2 or 3 hours, and they lost it right at the boat. I mean,
oh, wow.
We caught one on the party boat days. We caught one. I don't remember how big it was. It was over 100, I know. I don't think it was 200, but two people hooked it. It ate two baits, and two people were fighting it. And that's how come they caught it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a big yellowfin. It was buying a shrimp boat. So it does happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have that many shrimp boats in that range anymore. They're either way offshore or they're way inshore. There's none in that 40-mile range, usually.
That might be. They are now. You know, they'll start coming in a little closer, you know. But
need to go fish them. Maybe there's a yellowfin tuna behind some of them.
Some of the, you know, people. I'm sorry, Mickey. We're over here babbling, but the, you know.
No, I'm listening. I'm taking this all in.
It's been this very interesting topic around here, especially for me at least, is that, you know, the state record's been caught in the very shallow water behind the shrimp boat.
Mm-hmm.
There were several that were caught in the late 90s, especially that I know of, that were over 100 pounds that were caught. And this is like in 130 foot of water, 140 foot of water max. I mean, it's.
Yeah, Durwood, if I remember right, when he caught that one, he wasn't in barely past the 32s when he caught that.
So, I mean, you're talking 120, you know.
He was 120 foot or less.
110.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, now when I started really fishing the shrimp boats hard with customers and everything, I was always told between 160 and 200. You know, you try to stay in that range. You don't want to go too deep, but you don't want to be too shallow either. But in the meantime, I've also stopped here probably some of the best blackfin tuna bites I've had behind shrimp boat are at the 21s, the northbound, the, you know, outside part of the 21. So you're talking in 140 foot of water,
mm-hmm.
You know, and just lights out fishing. I mean, you know, so just stacked. You walk across the water, so many of them.
And this was a good year for blackfins, really. This
year it was, dude. And to your point, actually, you know, when we went last weekend, I mean, they were covered. They were everywhere. Everywhere, just so many dang sharks you couldn't get them through. I mean, it was terrible sharks. I tell you this, there was so many blackfin. There was so many blackfin. It was covered in sharks, clouds of sharks, and you could throw bait and you could skip it across the top, and that blackfin would come up eat it before the sharks would get to it, and the sharks weren't but 2 or 3 foot below the surface.
Were the sharks hit eating your tunas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that.
Gobbling the whole thing. I mean, they were big sharks. They was eating from the tail to the nose. I mean, wow. Just gobbling the whole thing.
We get some people we don't like. We need to take them out there.
Bleed them out.
That's the last thing we need, is to get the sharks a taste for human flesh.
Kind of
jump out of the water and bite us while we're
here. Yeah,
right. Don't fall in. My goodness.
God, no. For the love of Jesus, don't fall in.
You know, it's funny y'all brought this shallow water up catching these tuna. Jeffcoat was telling me the other day, I mean, they're catching yellowfin like 20 miles out of the river there, or even 10 miles, and then tarpon are like in 7 feet of water up against the beach with you know, all this good water that came in with these east winds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Fishing good in October, man, if you just got to get out there.
Man, I feel good. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
To your point, you know, that things do start moving around a little bit, you know. And, you know, up until just, I know as of last weekend, that water was just dirty, murky, like real dark green. Couldn't hardly see through it. And I looked on the maps on the satellite pictures. It was like that across all the way to Florida, you know, from Brownsville to Florida. I mean, it was all along the coastline. It was the same way, with the exceptions of being the Mississippi River Delta. You know, that tends to, it can either get worse or better, you know, just because of the flow.
Usually there's usually a current that pushes in there and it gets you get water close in, right. Which direction you go.
Yeah.
Over there, the water clarity, it seems like here it's more critical. Over there, it's not so critical. They'll catch yellowfin tuna.
Oh, they're in
dirty water. You can't, but it's probably just on the surface, probably that dirty water. It's probably not 5-10 foot below the surface. Probably gets clear underneath that, I would think. I don't really know, but
yeah.
Just the surface, freshwater layer on the surface from that river.
And that was the other thing, too. I just think remember that me catching those, that real good tuna bite about 3-4 years ago that was in that shallow water. It was murky that same way. It was not quite that murky as it is right now, but it was definitely dark green. There wasn't any kind of clarity to it. I mean, it looked nasty. And it's just a weird deal, you know, and I wonder where those big tuna are right now. I mean, as far as the shallow water tuna, I have not heard or seen one caught like that in years. I mean, you know.
I feel like that if you went and, you know, hit shrimp boats in that depth of water, if there was any out there at the time, I mean, there's going to be one on a shrimp boat. There's not going to be a bunch of them. You're going to get one big one or something.
One big yellowfin.
One big one, that's it. And then, so, I don't know. I know this, that, you know, back in the day when we had the party boats, Octobers and Novembers are some of our best tuna trips out at the floaters. We had great tuna trips in October.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones. And I had a really good trip on my 36 yellowfin. The first time I ever took it out, we went out in October to Gunnison, and we pounded on the yellowfin, man.
Yeah.
We didn't even really know what we were doing. We still caught plenty of them.
It's historically speaking, the last 4 or 5 years, you know, this fall season, it's been okay. But a lot of hit or miss. You know, they're either there or they're not. You know, they're not, they're not stacked in there. Whereas, like, around springtime, April, you know, March, late March, early April, they'll be, I mean, schoolies out there. They're not giant.
Yeah.
You know, you're not catching 100-pounders every time, but you're catching 70, 80-pounders, you know. But as many as you want, I mean, like shooting fish in a barrel.
That's fine to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Let me tell you what. There's three per person, you know, the limit.
I'd rather reel in 3 70-pounders than 1 220. You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, you go and try to put those 220s, they're tough to stack in any fish box. You know, they just don't want to sit in there like cordwood. You know, you got to.
Right.
They're a little awkward. You know, you square up about maybe 4. You know, if you got a real big box, but you know, whereas those 80-pounders, they'll slide in there perfect, head to toe. You know, put them in there like a jigsaw puzzle, man.
Yeah.
You can stuff them in their dick. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But those big long sickles, they don't help either. You know what I mean?
Where are you going to put that? Well, put him in the bedroom.
Start saving your sickles and hanging them on the wall when you catch one. Save all your sickle trophies.
So back to the original question, though. So determination with how long the sickles are, you can't really make a determination.
A longer sickle is going to be a bigger one.
A bigger fish.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a bigger yellowfin. I mean,
yeah, because you'll get a big one that doesn't have any sickles at all. But if it's got long sickles, it's going to be.
Yeah. Big. I mean, I kind of use that as a determination. I really do. Now, can I tell whether it's a 150-pounder or a 200-pounder?
Take it to the scale.
Take it to the scale. Yeah. I mean, the same way over there in California, too, you can't really tell. You know, they get big ones, they get small ones.
Anyway, there's probably some complicated measurements you could do with girth and length and all that and figure out how long it is and how much big around it is. And then maybe you could figure out how much it weighs. I don't know. They do that with They do that with those freaking, they do that with those halibut too sometimes, and Alaska one. You can't weigh the halibut like I caught one. They couldn't weigh it. They just guesstimated how big it was based on those measurements, and it's pretty close.
Yeah. So, I mean, carry the one times pi, you know.
Only if you have a calculator, you're good. You're good to go.
That's right.
Yeah. You know. Don't ask me to do that in my head.
But here we are, and there's some good yellowfin, you know, fishing apparently, or at least a few good ones out there. You know, and I think that's where we'll probably start directing some of our time and efforts towards anyways.
Yep, between now and the end of the year, between this rest of this year, if you have a good window, you should be able to go catch some of those yellowfins, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It's been crazy, man. The currents have been pretty good as far as for yellowfin at the floaters this season. It's been the right direction, a negative altimetry. Now, the altimetry has not always been perfect. You know, actually, as a matter of fact, it goes and comes a lot. Gunnison last year stayed in good water the whole entire year, you know, in terms of altimetry. This year, it hasn't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been more towards like Nansen and Boomvang.
More of this, to the west, I guess.
And there's a lot of people that went out to what's the furthest one out there?
Magnolia?
No. This way, just past Nansen and Boomvang. You got Hoover and then
Hoover.
Perdido. Perdido, yeah. So a lot of folks went out to Perdido this year. Didn't quite do as well as they have been, you know, the last few years, which is odd because they actually still have drill ships out there, as far as I know.
Aren't they supposed to be putting another spar?
Yeah.
Whale spar?
If it's not already, it might already be out there. They were anchoring it off, I think, for
whale. Don't they call it whale? Whale spar?
Something like that, yeah.
Like a killer whale? Whale? I think that's what they call
possibly. I don't know why it's. But anyways, so you got some other opportunities. Supposedly they're going to be taking down one of the either Nance or Boomvang.
Really?
I think they said Nance, but they've also been saying that for years with Gunnison, but they never have brought it down actually or taken it out.
Now that you mentioned that, the Cerveza rigs are going to be gone at some point, and I think Little Sister's going to be next. I still have a crew boat. Well, it's just going to take time. Probably won't happen. Maybe till next year on most of that. But I know that one of my crew boats is working at the West Cerveza rig, and that's probably the first one. They're going to reef it. They're not going to take it. I mean, they're going to put a reef there, but it's 900 foot of water, so there's not going to be a standing platform there anymore.
Yeah.
Eventually, all those, the West Cerveza, the East Cerveza, Little Sister, they're all going to be.
Really?
Probably within 2 years, they're going to be all gone.
What, because they don't produce anymore?
They're not producing anymore. Yep, they're not producing anymore. They've been taken over by
my bay. You know, in my bay system, we've got all those gas wells out there that aren't producing, and they're all just rusting apart and caving in. And man, we need some cleanup. But
yeah, the amount of maintenance those rigs take, especially those deep water like that, is the crazy amount of money they got to spend. I mean, they got to cut their ties at some point and get rid of them. You know, cut the cost. Stop the bleeding, so to speak. So they gotta pull them up.
We got flow pipes out there that are leaking all the time, and just it's nasty. I need to clean all that up.
It's quite surprising that in the bay system they wouldn't be, you know, held to a higher standard, you know, versus offshore. I mean, offshore has always kind of been that.
Polluting our bays, I've seen everything in Galveston Bay. It's just terrible.
Man.
Right there in your backyard.
Yeah, I can tell when the wind's out of a certain direction because the smell at my house, I can smell that condensate, you know, make slicks on the water, and you smell that oil condensate smell, and it's aggravating.
Yeah, I can only imagine, especially in this day and age, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised, you know. But I tell you, to your point, though, Mickey, have you ever been successful of getting anybody to fix it? And who do you call?
Well, I just report it to the Coast Guard or the game wardens and let them go from there.
Does it help?
I don't know whether to call the Texas, you know, land or whatever. But
TGLO, Texas General Land Office, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Right. And there's this one flow pipe there off Point Barra. You know, two or three times a year it'll turn something loose, and then I'll go out there and put a Band-Aid on it, fix it, and then here it comes again. It's just, it's all old. All that stuff's been laying on the bay floor out there for 50, 60, 70 years.
Oof. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, but definitely there's, I'll do some research on it this week and I'll try to get back a number. I feel like there is a number where you can call. A lot of people, I've seen some throughout the years, people call the news channel. He'll call them. That's probably that's probably a good one.
I know that there's a number.
That'll get everybody on it.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you. All right, gentlemen. Well, that went by very quick this morning. And, hey, if somebody wants to, you know, call Casey about his fuel dock and all that, or call you, Jeff, y'all give them out some info how they can reach you guys.
Yeah, if they want fuel in the Freeport area, give me a call at 979-373-1398.
And then call me anytime at 979-417-1013. So Casey has fuel on the water, too. That's the most important thing about his fuel. And it's cheaper than anybody else around here.
Well,
supposedly.
Supposedly. That's what we tell people.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, y'all have a good Sunday. And I'll talk to you next week. Y'all have a good week. See you now.
All right.
Thanks, guys. See you now. All right. Time for our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.